And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. It's that time of the week where we answer your questions. I happen to be in my office in San Antonio right now as I'm getting ready. Actually, I have about a couple weeks before I leave to go to Israel. October 9th, my wife and I will fly through New York City to Israel. We'll join up with a group that's coming from all over the United States to join us on our Israel trip. They leave on the 10th, and part of that group, Bob and Kay Ulrich. Bob is the general manager of WPEO in Peoria, Illinois. He's bringing a group along with his wife, Kay, and his sister-in-law and brother-in-law, Marge and Tom, and we're looking forward to being with them and their group and a lot of those that will be joining with us. We've got a pretty full group this time, and we're looking forward to being with them in Israel. So I've got a couple weeks. What am I doing during those couple weeks before I leave to go to Israel? Well, right now, I am working on finishing up our latest video project, Return to Eden. That should be out soon. So I'll be hunkering down, I guess, as they would say, working on that video project here in my office, getting ready for trying to have that completed before I leave to go to Israel. Once we hit Israel, again, like I said, my wife and I will be on the trip and we'll be teaching. Dad will join us on the trip. He will be there for a couple days and then he leaves because we have an overlapping trip. We overlap the journeys of Paul Cruz. My brother Rick and his wife will be on that cruise. And so they'll get everyone ready there, and Dad will leave Israel. As a matter of fact, this is kind of how our schedule goes. Dad will finish up on a conference with Brandon House. He'll then fly to Israel. Well, he'll join with us just as we're coming back from the Galilee. And then he will lead the Third Temple Seminar Day. We'll both be doing some broadcasting, working on radio programs and some video while we're there, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Wednesday is our Third Temple Seminar Day. Thursday, we take a look. We start out our day on the Mount of Olives and take a look at where we think the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ took place. And then the group has the afternoon free. Dad and I will go back to work producing some radio interviews while we're there in the land of Israel. The group then leaves Friday morning for a lot where I will then travel with Dad to Caesarea, where we'll be shooting the first part of our next video project that we're working on. And it starts in Caesarea, and then I will join with him later on in the city of Rome. But when we finish shooting in Caesarea down on the Mediterranean coast, I will then pack up my stuff, join the group in a lot who they have already started traveling down that day, and join up with them so that the next morning I could take them across the border and we'll spend that day Saturday in Petra seeing and looking and exploring around the 25 square miles in the city of Petra. Then come back, we'll spend another 2 days in a lot, one day on the Red Sea snorkeling, lunch, we'll go to the underwater observatory there in a lot. And then I take the group along with my wife up to the airport, send them off back home. I will then spend another couple days shooting some video footage in Israel, then leave from there and fly to Rome, where I'll join up with Dad and my brother Rick and as they finish out the cruise. And that's just our schedule for the month of October. So I just wanted to fill you in so you see what we're doing. You can always check out on Dad's schedule on our website, Prophecy Today. My schedule's on there also. You can see what we're doing, where we're working, where we're traveling. Maybe if you're in the area where one of us might be speaking, you might want to try to join with us, come along, come over and say hi to us and talk to us. I know that a lot of friends, for instance, my neighbor travels up. He's gone to the Worldview Weekends in Branson, Missouri, where he's from. He's traveled up there, visited family, and combined a trip together of seeing family, friends, and then going to a weekend where they can get some great teaching from not only Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, my father, but from Brandon House and several of the men that he has at those Worldview weekends. We are actually doing, and we've got some great upcoming announcements coming up on our Lancaster Prophecy Conference in May, and then our fall Gatlinburg Prophecy Conference coming up next year. So stand by. You'll won't want to miss some of those announcements, and you can make your plans to join with us. And why not try to come? You heard our schedule. That was just part of our schedule on our Israel trip. But why not try to make it a plan to come and join with us in Israel and Jordan? Maybe on our next cruise that we'll be doing, I think we're looking at doing one on the seven churches, going to that area in Turkey and the Isle of Patmos. So keep your eyes on our website. And speaking of our website, there's so much information on our website that is there for you to understand and to figure out where we are. And part of our teaching on Bible prophecy, this is our ministry. We spend night and day working, keeping an eye on what's happening around the world, understanding Bible prophecy, really taking a look at the major prophetic books, Ezekiel, Daniel, Revelation, Zechariah. Then we also we study the minor prophets. As a matter of fact, we really study from the foundation of Bible prophecy, which is from the book of Genesis all the way through to Revelation 22-21. We study the whole Bible, and that's our aspect of what we do. We're involved in eschatology, the study of the last days, and so this is what we add and bring to the table. And for our Bible students that are wanting to study also, maybe prophecy is just one part of your Bible study. We encourage you to incorporate all aspects of God's Word. There's a reason that He gave us His Word. That's how He communicates with us. He doesn't, today we don't hear audible voices from God anymore. The way that He communicates with us is from the Bible that He gave us, the Scriptures, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. It's all-encompassing. It shows us how to live our lives. He gives us the master plan, and He even tells us about what's going to take place in the future. That's Bible prophecy, eschatology, the study of the last days. One-third of God's Word is Bible prophecy. One out of every three pages is about future events that take place. So knowing that and understanding that, then, you know, that helps us be prepared, and we can use the rest of God's Word to apply to our lives and how to live our lives in this world and the urgency in which we live. So that's what we do. But if you go to our website, we spend our time trying to find things that are taking place around the world that are setting up events that are going to take place in the future. There are no other prophecies left to be fulfilled. We're not waiting for more prophecies in order for the rapture to take place. Remember, the rapture is an imminent event. It can happen at any moment. I get a lot of questions, about is this prophecy being fulfilled right now? All the prophecies have been fulfilled in order for the rapture of the church to take place. There are no other prophecies. 1,000 prophecies in the Bible, 500 have already been fulfilled. They came true exactly as they were prophesied to the T. Every T was crossed, every I was dotted, exactly as the prophecies came, and they had to. If one of those 500 prophecies only came partially true or correct, then, you know, there would be a fallacy, there would be a problem, there would be an error. But no, every single prophecy came true that and the 500 that have already happened. That gives me confidence. That gives me strength to know and to understand that the rest of the 500 that are going to take place are going to happen just as God said that they are going to take place, and as they were prophesied and as they are recorded in Scripture. So understanding that, we take a look at those Scriptures, we study them, and folks, there are a lot. I know, you know, I'm basically, as we say, I'm preaching to the choir. I know I get a lot of questions. We get some that are not so nice, and I'll read a couple of those for you today. We get some not so nice questions or statements towards us. There are a lot of views concerning prophecy out there. We have a way that we study Bible prophecy. That's the way that we teach it. That's the way that we understand it. We make no apologies for that. We don't back off on it. And sometimes we're fairly dogmatic about that. I think that's an understatement with my dad and I. But we firmly believe this. We're very passionate about it. And so as we study it, you know, and I'm not just talking about, you know, we're very passionate about who the Antichrist and what his name is and who this person. We do believe that there is a person that fits the prototype of the Antichrist out there right now. As a matter of fact, Satan, the satanic trinity, Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet, Satan has to have a person ready to fill the role of the Antichrist. He's not omniscient. He's not all powerful. He doesn't know everything. And so he is just like us. He doesn't know when the rapture is going to take place. That rapture, that imminent event, that it can happen at any moment. Well, Satan doesn't know that, so he has to have a person qualified to be the Antichrist ready at any moment. And we believe that those people are out there, but we just don't come down. We don't, you know, give you his name, and we're not going to argue over that. We'll tell you what the scripture says, the different titles that are put on this person of the Antichrist. I think something like 22 different names for the Antichrist and what his role will be and where he will come from. As you are using the proper interpretive methods for interpreting the Bible. And so that's what we do, and that's why we're passionate, and that's why we can without a shadow of a doubt, we can say yes, it's using this technique for studying Bible prophecy and the proper hermeneutics, and we can give you know, we're very confident in the answers that we give you and the understanding of how we see Bible prophecy. Using those techniques, understanding, then we have a worldview. Everybody has a worldview. We all have a worldview. Some of us, our worldview is shaped by Fox News and some other you know, conservative aspects of the news media. Some of us, our worldview is shaped by CNN and some of the more I would say liberal aspects of the media. Some of us, our worldview is only shaped by our local newspaper that we get. Well, we all have a worldview. And so understanding and having this technique for studying Bible prophecy, we can now take our worldview and take a look at what's happening around the world in different aspects of the news media on the internet. You know, things have become so much more available to us now. You know, I remember the days, and I know I sound like, you know, my grandparents used to sound, and my dad sounds to me sometimes, and I probably sound this way to my kids. But I remember in the days when we only had newspapers that we could read, and we would listen to a staticky AM radio to get our news news from around the world. Well, nowadays we can go right to local newspapers and areas on the ground. We can even hear interviews from people on the ground immediately as news is breaking. So your worldview and how you view it and what's taking place around the world, shapes your mind. We'll use in Bible prophecy and using how we understand Bible prophecy, we can take a look. If you go to our website, prophecytoday.com, every single day there are the top 10 news stories that we feel are very important and that relate to Bible prophecy, what's happening around the world. For instance, today I'm looking at Romney explains the dangers of a Palestinian state alongside of Israel. We have been teaching that all along. God has a special plan for this, what we call the Palestinian people. In fact, we've put together audio series and DVD series on the Palestinian people and who were their forefathers, who they are descendants from. So it's very interesting. And again, these are some... we're looking at Syria. Assad may use chemical weapons on Syria, which is our number two story for the day. Syria is going to play a very important role in Bible prophecy and the alignment of the nations that are going to come against Israel. what's taking place there. It's very important to keep our eyes on what's happening there. How does that affect you here in the United States as you are living your life in your in Anytown, USA? Well, Bible prophecy, there it says what Syria's role is going to be in Bible prophecy. And if you understand that, you know why it's very important to watch Bible prophecy and Syria and its role that it's going to have. I take a look at so many of the other questions. I see here one that, as I was talking with my neighbor this morning, he brought it to, what do you think about the wife of Jesus? You know, tongue in cheek, because he's a follower. He listens. He's listened to quite a few of Dad's series. He's gone to see him. As I told you, he's gone to a couple of the Brandon House weekend. But the wife of Jesus reference in the Coptic 4th century script. Folks, I'm not... This doesn't bother me. I believe that all the books of the Bible, all 66 books are given there. Everything that we need to know is recorded in the scriptures. There's so much more evidence. I mean, you could take a look at the authority figures that they have brought from both sides of this topic and discuss this. Everything is in God's word, is there. It's recorded. I'm not threatened by any of this. People are, what are you going to do? You know, people are, what are you going to do now? Are you threatened by this? No. I just go back to what I consider the source, God's word of communicating with us. And so that's there in God's word. And I don't see anywhere in God's word where Jesus had a wife. We could take hours, but that is something that is very important, and how it fits in, and something to how the rest of the world is trying to askew God's word, and maybe it might not be true. Maybe this Bible that Christians follow is not true. Maybe it's false. Maybe there are problems with it. I happen to believe it through and through, all 66 books of the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 gives us, is all inspired by God, written down by human authors as God breathed into them to write those passages. So, next story, the World Bank, the Palestinian Authority needs 400 million lifeline. The World Bank, a one world economic situation that's going to be set up. These are all things that are going to be playing into that come into play in the end times. And as you understand from Revelation chapter 6, as we start to see the Antichrist comes on the scene, in fact, that's the first seal that says unleashed. The man on a white horse comes on the scene, and that's the Antichrist, who sets up a one world government using a one world economic program to solve the crisis in the world. And very interesting in the times in which we're living right now, how that would come into play. There are also the last story, and you can go to our website every day. Maybe you don't have time and you would like to go to our website and ask them to send you these top 10 news stories in an email file so that you can get it in your email each morning and just quickly take a glance at what's taking place. The last story is the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, has launched a surprise live fire drill in the Golan Heights. Now, a lot of people say, well, why is that important? Well, come with us to Israel. We'll take you up to the Golan Heights. We'll take you where most groups, I would probably say, 95% of groups that go to Israel don't go to the Golan Heights. And you'd probably say, well, Jimmy, what's so important about the Golan Heights? Well, prophetically, we could take you to an overlooking from on the east side of the Golan Heights, looking towards the west. We'll look across the Sea of Galilee over to the city of Tiberias. The Golan Heights, which Israel just in a battle that took place, as Syria used to control the Golan Heights, and when Syria attacked Israel, Israel fought and defended that area and took the Golan Heights and drove Syria back to the borders of where they are now, to the city of Quneitra up in the north on the Golan Heights. And Israel took that land back. Well, prophetically, we could take you to the overlook, and we'll show you from the book of Micah the prophecies concerning the Golan Heights and the future and what's going to take place and what the Bible tells us about that. But that's why that you have to understand. And most groups never go there. They don't understand how important the Golan Heights are to Israel and what would happen if Syria, who is having its own problems right now within its government and its military, if Syria were to push up and say, hey, we want the Golan Heights back. I mean, there have been presidents that have tried to negotiate giving away the Golan Heights. I think it's very important that you understand what's taking place and what's happening. Go to our website. This will help you figure out important stories to be on top of. We have our Prophecy Today intelligence briefing, which has just been added within the last month. I think it's fantastic. We take our weekend interviews that Dad does with men on the ground. For instance, this week there are on the Prophecy Today intelligence briefing, Ken Timmerman, Rob Congdon, Osama Daktok, Steve Herzig, Dave Dolan, Rabbi Yoel Kirin, as they talk about their situations and the topics that they are addressing, and then Dad will put a little bit more of a take on what they are talking about, what they're saying, and I give you a good. You should go and listen to it. I really appreciate it. You hear from these men, and then you also hear Dad explaining as he takes a look at the Word and gives you a little bit more in depth that will help you understand what these men are saying and why it's important for you to hear what they are saying. So go to our website, take a look at it. There are so many things, our schedules that we have, like we said, all aspects of our radio programs that are on across the United States. And they are all on our content providing website that we have for you. And we want you to be able to become true students of the Word. We don't want you to just take our word for it. We're not the gurus. We do study Bible prophecy. We understand where we are, and we have backgrounds for many years of studying it. But we want you to be able to have the same info. You have the same capability to taking this information, disseminating it, using discernment and putting it together and being able to tell others. And we try to make it very simple. It's not complicated. In fact, I've got a couple questions. In fact, why don't we go to a couple of our questions? Let's see. I've got a couple, and we'll just pull them up randomly. First question or comment that we have this week is from a Mr. Deepak Tiwari. And I'm imagining that's a name from someplace overseas, although it could be in the States. But he says, "Dear sir, greeting on Jesus' name. I'm doing church ministry with a pastor from 4 years, and now I want to plant a new church, and I'm praying for a location. So please pray for me." Well, Mr. Deepak Tiwari, we will be praying. Write that name down, Deepak Tiwari. He has sent in through to our website. He probably listens and gets information concerning Bible prophecy, which is a great resource for anybody is a teacher or a pastor, Sunday school teacher, layperson that wants to do a Bible study. You can come to the different aspects of our website, and whether it be the daily devotions, again, any one of our audio programs, our Live 365, our Prophecy Today radio network, which plays programs from Dr. John Whitcomb, my father, myself. We're all on there, teachings and radio interviews and things like that. And it's a resource. And I know a lot of pastors do that. A lot of pastors that don't have the time to really to study up and want to kind of get a head start, a jump start on it, and jump off of it and carry their studies farther. And this is Mr. Deepak Tiwari. Probably sends that in, and he's asking for prayer. So please put his name down. You know, I don't know what he looks like. I don't even know where he's from. But how will it be when we're in eternity, and for all eternity, which it's for eternity. I believe that we'll be in heaven and we'll be able to fellowship. And I run into Deepak Tiwari, and he says, thank you so much for praying. Let me tell you about how your prayer was answered. And that would be so neat in so many different ways, not only in our ministry as you pray for ministries, but pray for this dear pastor as he is looking for some prayer as to a location, where to go to start a church and wherever he might be in the world. Let's take a look at our next question. Ricky Payne sends in a question. Pastor Ricky Payne, what happens to the unsaved at the end time? Do they continue to live in eternal damnation, or will it be a second and final death? Thank you for answering this question. I have searched and found scriptures that backs both of these scenarios. Well, Ricky, the second death is to eternal damnation. Hey, you know, I know that there's a pastor out there right now. He says that hell is not really a real place. Well, we understand from the book of Revelation, as Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire forever, and that's where they will be. The second death is after the judgment, after the resurrection, and they come to the great white throne judgment, and their names are not found written in the book of life. They will be cast into the lake of fire forever. And that's and I do believe that is not just a state of mind that people will be in. I believe physically, from physical descriptions of this place called hell, a place of torment, I believe that in the lake of fire, I mean, how can you even begin to describe the lake of fire and what that is? It's going to be unbelievable, the intense torment for all of eternity. So I do believe that people will be spending eternity I use that word spend. You can't spend in order to spend something. It's like having a dollar and you spend it and it's gone. People will be eternally in hell forever and forever and for eternity. And so I think that is something that is very important, and there's a philosophy out there today among churches that we're trying to make it easy for people to understand what's taking place and what's happening, and that this is just something that is a state of mind, and God is a God of love. He's not going to really send people eternally to hell. Well, I do believe in Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne judgment. And in fact, if you go Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there were found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, everyone. Everyone's going to be there. No matter what your status in life is, no matter how small or how important you were, the small and the great standing before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up their dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Remember, the same place where Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet were cast into forever. So death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire forever. And we get indications from that scripture that people are resurrected from the sea and from different places and brought to the great white throne judgment. Their bodies are back together. So as they go into this torment forever, into the lake of fire, it's a physical torment on physical bodies that they will be able to feel. And this is all because they rejected the free gift that Jesus Christ that God gave to us through sending his son Jesus to die on the cross, to take away our sins, to take upon the sins of us upon him, and he took those to the grave, and 3 days later rose again from the grave, and now he is seated at the right hand of the Father, He is interceding for us. Because people rejected that, they are going to spend they will be in eternity forever. I got to be careful about that spin word. You cannot spend eternity. They will be there forever. Let's take a look at our next question. Comes from Tony. Tony Rogers, excerpt from today's news update. And I'm not sure when this was, but a study of Bible prophecy reveals that people of faith, those who believe in Jesus Christ, will be under attack with great force during the 7-year tribulation period to come. I guess I'm pre-trib, Jimmy. I didn't know we would be left behind. Probably something here I'm missing. My apologies if that is so. God bless you. Well, Tony, yes, at the rapture of the church, all those that are Christians, the body of Christ, from the day of Pentecost until the rapture of the church, that's encompassed that time period. That's the time period in which the body of Christ is on the earth. The next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church, as talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 15, Revelation chapter 4. That's where it talks about this event, the rapture of the church takes place. That's where he calls all of us that have accepted Christ, that have made that decision to follow him. We have been given that information, the salvation message. We have taken that information and we have acted on it. We received it into our lives. When the rapture takes place, the next event to take place, we will be caught up into the heavenlies. That's the rapture of the church. Now, there are those people that have been given the opportunity. They heard the message. They understood the message, and they decided to reject it. The tribulation period they will go into, they will not have another chance to accept Jesus Christ once the tribulation period begins. Now, you remember what this scenario is. The rapture of the church takes place. All the Christians on the earth are taken off. The body of Christ, the church, is taken up into the heavenlies. And then there's a period of time that takes place, and then Revelation chapter 6, the man on a white horse comes onto the scene, and the tribulation period begins after that man on a white horse, the Antichrist, confirms a peace treaty with Israel, and says, "Hey, I am going to bring, I'm going to make sure that peace is going to be in this area of the world." He confirms that peace treaty. That starts the tribulation period. That starts a 7-year period of time. 7 years that are laid out, specifically the days are laid out in the book of Revelation, that 70th week of Daniel that is talked about, that we have talked about. And I know, Tony, you know this because you're just misunderstanding, but I'm going through this process so that others, as they are listening, will be able to understand also that there will be people that are saved during the tribulation period. And that's who Dad was talking about in this today in his news update that he gave. The people that are saved, those are people in the tribulation period. As a matter of fact, the two witnesses come and speak. They'll be headquartered on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. They will preach. At that point in time, 144,000 male virgin Jews from the book of Revelation will then go and become male evangelists as they travel the world, telling the world about Jesus Christ and what he has done. These men, they'll be protected, and there'll be probably millions of people that will come to know the Lord during the tribulation period. And those are people, though, that never had a chance to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The conditions are if they heard the gospel message and understood it, and they rejected Jesus Christ, then they will not have a chance to accept Jesus in the tribulation period. People that have never heard the gospel message, or maybe somebody heard the gospel message and then didn't understand it. And that's not my position to tell who understands it and who doesn't understand it. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about those that will be caused to believe a lie because they rejected the love of the truth. Now, those people that have never heard the gospel message and hear it and decide, and there will be people that will reject, even though that they see the judgments that are taking place, even though they see these 144,000 and then everything that's taking place with the Antichrist and governments falling. As a matter of fact, if you understand, Tony, what takes place in the tribulation period, there are 21 judgments that get increasingly harder for people to survive. In fact, we lose a large portion of the world's population. Some have said up to 2/3 of the world's population will be gone during this tribulation period. So should a person, not everybody is guaranteed to hear the gospel message with these judgments that are unleashed. But those that will, that hear the message that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them, that they can accept him as the true Messiah, they will be saved. There will be others that will reject it during this tribulation period, even though that they see these judgments that are taking place. But again, and the Antichrist will come. I mean, as a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, we understand about the tribulation saints, those people that accepted Christ and were killed, were martyred because of what they believed by the Antichrist, Satan and the false prophet. There's a number that no man, anybody can put a number to, of saints that come to know him. And that's talked about as those saints will be there at the end of the tribulation period around the throne. So anyway, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about people. He's not talking about the church going through the tribulation period. Those are people that come to know Jesus Christ. Took a long way around about talking about that, Tony. You could take a look at any aspect of what I've talked about. About the Revelation chapter 7 talks about the 144,000 and where they're coming from and what their responsibility will be. Revelation chapter 11 talks about the two witnesses that will preach. And you're correct, Tony. The church doesn't go into the tribulation period. Thank you, Tony, for your question. Hopefully that helps. Let's see what our next question is and who it comes from. And question, Dr. DeYoung, I was hoping that you would take a look at this article and maybe at some point review it with Brandon House. Brandon House, our radio partner, and we do a lot together. My good friend sent me this. The beginning part seemed okay until I kept reading further. Its quotes are disturbing. Initially, what this guy is sending us, and we appreciate, I would just tell you, the author of these passages or these articles that was sent to us, David Stewart, you could tell, you know, the first thing that I do when anybody sends me an information, we really don't spend a whole lot of time commenting on what other people write. I know that we have addressed a couple of books that have become very important. As a matter of fact, The Harbinger and Dave James has come in. David Stewart, I would do the first thing that you do is you go and you take a look at his background. See where he's coming from. See what he says. And you can go through and you take a look at all the things that he's talked about. Yes, and you're right. You're absolutely right, Eric. He does start off and he does say some things correctly. He comes from I agree with some of the things he says, but then all of a sudden he takes some strange turns on some topics, and not one that I want to get into now. But I think using passages. In fact, he's talking about Christian. I believe the term is Zionism being unholy, and that certain Christian pastors are guilty of wanting to incite war. And he goes into that, everything that the Jews do right now is incorrect, and the injustice that the Jews are doing on the Arabs. And I think that we have documented this on our program before. And, not everything that Israel does right now is right thing. And I do think he's probably correct that churches and ministries should not, you know, there are some churches and ministries out there that give millions of dollars to the Israeli government. Believe you me, the Israeli government are not saints. As a matter of fact, Israel per capita is second in the world per capita in abortions. So Israel is not a holy nation. It is not a nation right now. But this is the beginning, 1948, and the beginning of Israel becoming a nation again, being resurrected, bringing that's prophecy being fulfilled. There are promises made to the Jews in the future. Those promises don't have anything to do right now, per se, with the land that's been promised to them. They're not going to get that land right now. We know when they will receive all the land that's been given to them. The promise of the Davidic covenant of a descendant of King David ruling in the city of Jerusalem. Well, that's not happening right now. We know when that takes place. That will take place in the millennial kingdom. But we could see with different activities. It's exciting to see when people talk about, when we talked with Jewish men that says that they are descendants of King David and that they will that they are involved in setting up because they read the book of Ezekiel. Their timeline's different than ours, but they understand that there is going to be a descendant of King David on the throne in Jerusalem. So they're involved right now, trying to do what's necessary and put plans in motion for a descendant of King David to sit on a earthly throne in the city of Jerusalem, but they don't understand that descendant is Jesus Christ that's going to be sitting on that throne, and that takes place during the millennial kingdom. Yes, there's a partial fulfillment of the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel of Israel coming back together, and that's being partially fulfilled. But yes, I do think that sometimes Christians and churches and ministries go overboard with giving money, and they'll worship the Jewish people in the sense that they don't tell them about Jesus Christ. You know what? If those Jewish people don't hear the message that Jesus Christ died for their sins, went to the cross as promised, as prophesied, died for their sins and covers and takes away their sins. And that's the only way that they can get to heaven. If they don't believe that and they die right now, they will be in eternity, in hell for eternity. So there are some things. Getting back to this, and I've kind of chased a little rabbit there, but getting back to this guy's concern, yeah, I have some concerns about the things that he talks about. He starts to go off into some conspiracy theory areas and different things like that. I do believe that Israel came back to its land in 1948, became a nation again, resurrected a language, and it's all part of God's prophecy, part of the things that are going to take place and the fulfillment, and they will be perfected. Jesus Christ will go and bring all the house of Israel, and he'll go into the Holy of Holies. But that is not until the millennial period. And that's a time that we could take not enough time on today's program to take a look at all of that. As a matter of fact, you can go back to different programs that we have done, Dad and I have done. We've answered these questions before, and you can listen to some of those. So anyway, thank you, Eric, for sending that in. Be very careful. And the first thing you want to do is go and see where somebody's coming from, what his background is, what his eschatology is, and how he views Israel, the church, books of the Bible, the three strands of the human family. Those are all very important. So it looked like some of the things he had were to say were good. Some of them were a little bit off base, in my opinion. Question from Jay Warden, who's a listener on WFIF 1500. This man is a faithful listener and would like his question answered on the program if possible, as he doesn't get the internet. But he said his question is, years ago, a lady on TBN was teaching that there are two raptures, one of these being in Revelation chapter 14, verses 15 to 20. Well, let's take a look. If you got your Bible, and take a look at Revelation 14, verses 15 to 20. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest on the earth is ripe. Verse 16, so he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather in the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came up out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs. This is an event that takes place at the very end of the tribulation period, as indicated by the passage of Scripture that talks about the wine press was trampled outside the city, the blood came up. That's a description of the Battle of Armageddon, specifically talked about in the book of Isaiah chapter 34, Revelation 19. All those things take place, and that battle, that last battle that takes place, but and the exact mile, the measurement from where this takes place, and what happens in the Jezreel Valley, the Valley of the Mountains, up in the central part of Israel, north of Jerusalem, and that battle takes place. Jesus Christ comes. We'll be riding back with him on white horses. We get a description of who's there, what we're wearing, what Jesus Christ looks like, and what he does as he fights his battle. So this is an event that takes place at the end of the tribulation period. This judgment that they're talking about are those that were wicked, the judgment of the Jewish people, the judgment of the Gentiles, those that accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, as the true Messiah, and those that rejected him. And this is the judgment that takes place at the end of the tribulation period. And again, if you know the timeline, that's why it's so very important. When we talk about the Trio of Triplets, and I'm teaching this in a church right now, a new series that I'm doing at a church. Dad teaches it all the time. It's one of the first things that we go through to kind of get everybody on the page. The Trio of Triplets, the three strands of the human family. Portions of Scripture are given to that were written, designed for the three strands of the human family. The Gentiles, which are the first 2,000 years of human history from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis chapter 12. Then the second strand of the human family from Abraham and his call out of Ur of the Chaldees as he came into the promised land in Genesis chapter 12, and the promise that was given to Abraham and his descendants. And then through the Old Testament, the next 2,000 years, the covenants that were made with the Jewish people, the land covenant, the Davidic covenant, the new covenant, the Abrahamic covenant that I talked about, all these promises that were made to the Jewish people. That was for the next 2,000 years, all the way through the apostles. Interestingly enough, all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, talking to the Jewish people. There were no Christians on the earth in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first Christians came into being in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost. That's when the church began. That's when Peter preached an unbelievable message in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 were added to the church. And now those were the first 3,000 that were added to the body of Christ, the church. They were Christians. And then you go on down to Acts chapter 9 and 10, where all of a sudden you start to see as Peter goes to Caesarea, and the first Gentile is recorded in the Scripture, where Cornelius, the Italian soldier, the regiment leader down in the city of Caesarea, comes to know the Lord, and he is the first Gentile. And now all of a sudden, as talked about in Ephesians chapter 2, you see the partition that divided the two people now becomes one. When they accept Jesus Christ, Jew and Gentile become one person. They become a Christian. You can't be one of the two of those people. You can only be, you're either a Gentile, which is a lost person, a Jew, which is out of the family of the Jewish bloodline, the promise to the Jewish people, or a Christian. Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. And once you become a believer that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah, that he, by him going to the cross, he took away our sin, that's how you have eternal life with him, by believing in the death, burial, and resurrection. The resurrection, the most important event in all of history. that resurrection that takes place. Well, so those are the three strands of the human family. That's the first of the trio of triplets. The second, the three main books given to the Gentiles, which is the book of Daniel, talks about the times of the Gentiles, and specifically when that time comes to an end, when the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And then you have the book of Ezekiel, which was given to the Jewish people. What happens when the Jews, who are the chosen people, when they disobeyed God, and then God brings them back together, as we talked about in 1948, and the vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones, of the bones coming together onto the muscles coming on, and the skin coming together, all of that coming together, or the prophecies of the nations that are going to come against Israel, and then, as a matter of fact, the prophecy of and the promise of what's going to take place in the millennial kingdom in the book of Ezekiel, and what specific role the Jews will play during that, and who are those Jews? We'll talk about that on a future program, and we have talked about it on past programs. And then you've got the book of Revelation, which is the book for the Christian. So you got the three strands of the human family, the three books that pertain to those, and then the last three main events on God's calendar: the rapture, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which are two different separate events separated by 7 years. You have the rapture, the tribulation period of 7 years, and then the revelation of Jesus Christ, where he comes down, touches down on the Mount of Olives, and then goes to fight the battle of Armageddon in the Jezreel Valley, comes back, gathers the Jews that have gone into the wilderness for protection, probably to the city of Petra, and then he brings them into the city of Jerusalem, up onto the Temple Mount, into the temple that he built. Then starts the millennial period, a 1,000-year period of time. And at the end of the 1,000-year millennial period that's talked about in Ezekiel and Book of Revelation, there's the great white throne judgment that takes place. That's where all those that rejected Jesus Christ are sentenced eternally to the lake of fire, to hell forever. So that's the trio of triplets, and that's very important as you understand, and as we look at Bible prophecy, as we look at events that are taking place right now, how they all fit into God's master plan that he has. Our last question today, the answer man sends in. He doesn't sign his name. He just says the answer man, and his message is, you're going to burn in hell. You are nothing more than a merchandiser of God's people. The lake of fire is the perfect place for you. And I'm not really sure. And I want to just share this with you. We study. We definitely are not getting rich. We're not merchandisers of God's people. We do offer CD series, teaching series. We do offer instructional DVDs. We're not an entertainment group or an entertainment ministry. We are trying to give information out as best as we have studied Bible prophecy, as we understand it, what's going to take place. So the answer man, whatever your name is, I know that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I am trying, my Father is trying, our ministry, we are trying as best that we can to tell others, to edify the body of Christ, to educate the body of Christ as we know and as we have studied it. So, as we teach, yes, there are times that we will come under fire for things that we say, but we truly believe them. We have studied God's word, and if we're wrong, if you could show us, you know, it's just it's one thing to come on and say you're merchandisers, you're going to burn in hell, but show us from God's word where we're wrong, and if we're wrong through looking at God's word, we will correct ourselves, and that's the key. That is the basis for what we do. We study God's word. Our ministry is based on that. We're not. We don't really get off on sensationalism. We just really look at what God's word says. And I think that if you want to come at us and tell us that we're doing something wrong, bring the scriptures and we'll discuss in love. I think that's the key thing in all that we do and all that everybody does. You know, our main priority as believers in Jesus Christ, our main responsibility is to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And that's what we're doing. That's what we feel that we do. And we try very hard in everything that we do to bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, that's about it for our questions this week. We'll try to get to our more questions next week, and we'll try to get Dad back on the line. You can follow him on, you could go look at his schedule on our Prophecy Today website, take a look at his schedule, our schedules, and hopefully we'll be able to get him back in the studios next week, and he'll answer some of your questions. Well, after looking at everything that we've said today, there's nothing else for us to say except let's keep looking up until...